50 years ago tomorrow, a police raid on a gay bar in New York City called the Stonewall Inn led to riots that are seen as the start of the LGBTQ rights movement. At the 10th anniversary in 1979, there was a gay pride parade in Greenwich Village featuring veterans of the riots and other demonstrators. Well, this Sunday, millions are expected at the World Pride March in New York, which has special significance coming on the weekend of the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Joining us now are two people who were there 50 years ago and are now together, Paul Glass and Charles Evans of Falmouth, Massachusetts. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, and first of all, you were both at Stonewall separately, but didn't even know that you were both there until recently. Explain that.
I was living in Boston at the time, still living at home, teenager, and I was exploring in New York for the weekend. And what I mean by exploring is that I wanted to see more of what the gay life had to offer in Greenwich Village. And Charles and I had met the year prior. We dated a little bit long distance, but then it appeared like it wasn't really going to work out, so I kind of sneaked in town without telling him. And I was on the other opposite end of Christopher Street down near the piers and was working my way back up towards Sheraton Square when folks were kind of running down the street and sending out word, almost like the town crier, that there was a commotion going on up in Sheraton Square. So everybody kind of ran in that direction. Charles was coming from a club on the opposite end of Christopher Street. So we never really saw one another.
And why had you not discussed before recently that you were both there at Stonewall at the same time?
I don't know. It just it never really came up. It wasn't something that I didn't think really to share it. I didn't realize it. You know, although I knew about what Stonewall kind of sparked a bit of a revolution, but it really didn't take hold or wasn't as publicized until now.
Mm-hmm. Charles, tell us a little bit about how you ended up there at Stonewall on that day. You were raised in North Carolina, but you were living in New York at the time.
Correct. I was raised down south by my aunt. So I was up visiting my parents for the summer. And as usual, you just hang out. And it was one of those days I wanted to go out and I ended up going to the village. And there was this club called the Bonsoir that I would always frequent. And then it just happened to be that Friday after leaving the club, I came down West 4th Street. And as I approached West 4th Street, I saw a crowd. Now, going backwards a little bit, normally after we leave the club, we always go to Sheraton Square and just hang out. Just because young kids, summer, it was between my freshman and sophomore year in college. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to hang out. And as we got close to Sheraton Square, we saw this crowd. And the next thing we knew, we were joining into the crowd. Now, as I have told others, it was kind of interesting because I was still in a riot mode. Because the month before, we had had a big riot at my college. And I guess so by getting into this crowd, it just made the adrenaline even higher. And the next thing I know is 50 years later, here we are.
Well, and were you worried for your safety, Charles, that evening?
I didn't even think about that because by the time we got there, I guess all the screaming and the hollering, then we kind of found out what was going on. So we kind of joined in. And it got to be the point, too, if you had lived in New York during that time or going to the clubs, you would be in the club, and then all at once the music would stop. They would unplug the jukebox, and the cops would come, and they would walk around. So it got to be a point you were tired of being tired. So when we found out exactly what was going on, we felt good. So there was no danger. I felt no danger at all.
And what about you, Paul? Did you feel like you were in danger at all during Stonewall?
I didn't feel as much so much in danger because I felt we had numbers and it wasn't the kind of commotion, if you will, from the police. They were being resistant or pushing back, but they really weren't being as violent as I have seen them in other situations. I think they were more afraid of the crowd than the crowd was afraid of them. And they really were moving, you know, in reverse when they were being pelted with, you know, things that were being thrown at them. Mm-hmm. So I felt there was some safety from that perspective.
Paul, did it feel monumental or historic at the time?
It felt monumental, but I didn't feel the historic part until later.
And what about you, Charles? Did it feel monumental to you?
Yes, and too. I saw it in so many different ways. And being Black and born in the South, this was just another time of fighting resistance. Mm-hmm. So it was just an uprising that I felt that was part of my nature to fight for my rights. So as talking about monumental, was just another step forward for my rights. And this time not being as my racial rights, as my equality rights, as being a gay person.
Well, and as you look back on it now, 50 years later, let me ask each of you, what impact do you think Stonewall had on gay rights in this country? I'll start with you, Charles.
It opened a lot of eyes. We just wasn't a group of people that were out in drags, being all girl and all the other stuff. We were humans also, and we had our rights. There were so many drag queens that were there that, you know, they would walk down the streets years later, or weeks later, should I say, and proud to say, here I am, accept me for who I am. And I didn't think, or I still don't think, that anyone has the right to tell us how we should live our life and how we should go out and enjoy ourselves.
And what about you, Paul?
Well, for me, it felt empowering. And I think it empowered all gays in general. It was one of the first times that the gays had fought back for and fought for their rights, felt as though they were no longer subhuman. You know, they felt that they should be respected and they had rights for a long time, certainly from my perspective, being the time that I had been out in gay life. The attitude was pretty much you didn't have any rights, so you just had to go along and comply with whatever was the order of the day. And folks began to feel as though when they come together, they had power. And that power was evident at Stonewall.
You're both gay and both African-American. As you look at all the progress that has been made for both of those groups over the decades, which do you feel at this point is the one that has more to be done, that there's more progress that needs to be made?
I would say both.
So would I. I think there's ground to be covered on both ends, on both fronts, both racially as well as for LGBTQ rights as well.
Do you think that a younger generation of LGBTQ people in this country understands what happened at Stonewall and how that led to where we are today?
No. And I look back when they were interviewing a young lady on after Boston Pride, and they asked her, what was Stonewall all about? And she had the slightest idea. She even turned to her friends and said, could you help me out? So we are talking 50 years later, and it seemed like it was out of sight, out of mind to a lot of the young kids. And that's why I think it's so important for us older LGBTQ to try to communicate to these kids and let them understand the importance of it, because sometimes I think they just live for today.
There's a generation that has lost the rich history about Stonewall and a lot of the activism that happened post-Stonewall as well. There's a whole generation that just wasn't born around that time. So they're not in tune to all the rights that they have that they enjoy now, that they are living on the backs of those who were part of that initial uprising and those who have carried the banner since then.
So as we approach the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, we should tell our listeners that even though you were on and off together over the years, you're now married, right? How did you finally decide to get together for good?
Well, it was that's a rich story, and I'll try to give the short version. I was living in New York. After 9/11, I left New York after 30 years and moved back to Massachusetts to Falmouth, where I had purchased a home. And it was not long after, it was a friend of um, a friend of mine who passed away and a mutual friend came to the funeral. We were very close at the time, but he was still living in New York. We exchanged, and we hadn't been in communication. We exchanged information. The next weekend, he runs into Charles, and Charles and I at that point had a 12-year absence, and we hadn't been in communication, hadn't seen or spoken to one another. He gave Charles my number. He gave me Charles's number. I called him, and it looked like there was a little bit of a spark. I invited him to come to the Cape. He came, and it was on since then, and 2 years later, we got married.
Wow.
And that was 7 years ago.
7 years ago. Well, congratulations to both of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's Paul Glass and Charles Evans remembering Stonewall 50 years later. They were both there, and now they are married. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
And according to the Stonewall Veterans Association, this was one of the songs on the jukebox in June 1969, Good Lovin' Ain't Easy to Come By, by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. You're listening to Here and Now.